Good morning, everyone. This is Andre from Mental Health, and I'm here at the inaugural Institute for Mental Health Forum in Birmingham with Matthew Broom, Director of the Institute for Mental Health. Good morning, Matthew. How are you doing?
Morning, Andre. Thank you for coming and supporting our event today.
Yeah, pleasure. Really looking forward to it. I think it's one of those kind of youth mental health events that brings together, you know, really great senior speakers from academia and from services and from charities and research, but also is kind of driven by young people. Tell us why you had the event today in the first place and how you've put it together.
So I suppose I was appointed to the university in August 2017. So we want to do something after our first year of existence. I guess we're at the stage at the moment of developing our research strategy, creating our teaching programme and recruiting. So we thought, you know, 12, 14 months on was a good time to have a launch event to celebrate what we've done and I guess to hope for our plans for the future, plan for the future. A key part of what we want to do is to try and co-produce everything in terms of our recruitment, teaching, research. So we've developed a young person's advisory group and recently appointed a young person's facilitator, Naya, who's here today. So the programme has been developed with them. And as you'll see throughout the course of the day, they're part of the event today. And I guess we wanted to use the event to showcase some of our key themes, really, which are about being interdisciplinary and being youth-focused, and I guess the emphasis on co-production. So I guess those are the three kind of messages I would like to get across today. I'm very fortunate, as you say, to have some very generous keynote speakers who've given up their time to talk to us today.
And you're going to have about 70 or 80 people in the room?
We believe so. I think we booked the venue for up to 80 or so. Yes, that's right. And we've got a book launch this evening for Lisa Bortolotti, who's got another important thing that symbolises the interdisciplinary nature of our work. So edited volume on delusions she's launching this evening.
Yeah, fantastic. I've been to loads of youth mental health events over the last 2 or 3 years. And the ones that always work best for me are the ones that put young people, you know, front and centre, not just in the organisation, but actually in the event itself. So yes. Tell us how that's going to work.
So I guess they're kind of scattered throughout the day. So we have an opening event, which they're leading. There's also a kind of social media event in parallel to your work. They're going to take over the IMH account and tweet about the day. And then they'll be leading some of the introductions to the keynotes and being very much part of the workshops later on in the day, representing on the panel at the end of the day as well.
Fantastic. You've really started to suck in the great and the good of mental health research into this institute in Birmingham. Sarah Carr started working here recently.
Yes.
Stephen Mawaha. Is that the kind of strategy to cherry pick the great people from around the country?
Yes. I suppose great people, but with that I guess caveat, you want them to have that interdisciplinary interest, be able to work across boundaries. And obviously I've worked with Stephen for many years. We were together at Warwick and I met Sarah through the policy research unit launch with Sonia, and I was just really impressed by hearing on the panel, and then we spoke afterwards. So it's kind of great this has all worked out.
Fantastic, really exciting. So tell us about the speakers here today. We've got Erwin Kalacki from Youth Mental Health Oregon speaking first. Yeah. Tell us about him.
So Erwin's a professor at Melbourne, and I guess you're very keen for Erwin to come, I guess for two reasons, both for his own kind of research to talk about recovery and vocational work with young people, but also the partnership with Melbourne is very important for the Institute for Mental Health. So they've been very helpful to us in terms of developing our research strategy. We have a joint PhD studentship programme with Melbourne, which is Paris, who you met in the lobbies, is our first appointee who's starting this academic year. And we're developing a joint master's with them. So Melbourne's very important in terms of what the IMH is going to deliver. We also have this historical relationship over the years. So as you probably know, from my early days with the early intervention services in London, we worked very closely with Pat McGorry and with Paddy Power in setting up those services. And I myself work a lot with Alison Young in the prodromal kind of area of work. And prior to me starting, Stephen Wood was a professor here at Birmingham and has now subsequently returned to Melbourne. So I think Stephen, with colleagues at the university, did a lot of the groundwork and impetus to get the Institute for Mental Health going. So there's a very strong and close bond between the University of Birmingham and the University of Melbourne, and which is why we're delighted, I guess, to have Erwin here as our opening keynote.
And do you know what he's going to be talking about today?
I've asked him generally to talk about probably quite a lot, actually, so a tough brief. So I've asked him to talk about the state of youth mental health, so international view, something about where they're going in Melbourne, and then a bit about his own particular research. So those are the three main topics he's going to hopefully cover for us today.
Yeah, I guess youth mental health isn't out of the news at the moment, is it? What's your kind of perspective on where we're at in terms of mental health services and research for young people?
I guess there's a few different themes. I guess there's the general worry you detect that there's a lot of increasing awareness, and there's something behind that. So I think that's something I'm aware of in my role, that we have to make sure our research covers both the psychoeducation, awareness, destigmatising angle, but also the improvement and development of services and interventions. So I think there's keeping those two together and in parallel is a I'm not going to say challenge, but something to bear in mind all the time. I think there's the kind of scientific questions that interest me, is why youth mental health problems seem to be increasing and mechanisms for that, and the opportunities for prevention. So I'm particularly got more interested in bullying of late. So that's something we're trying to work on a bit more locally with our colleagues in public health in Birmingham and the schools. So and I guess that takes us to one of our other speakers, which is Paul Burstow, who's presenting the Mental Health Policy Commission findings today, which talks a lot about what he calls the treatment gap. So there's both a financial and, I guess, a skill-based gap in what we need to treat to support all young people in the UK. So he argues for we need a change towards prevention and reviews the evidence-based interventions that may help prevention for mental health problems in young people.
Yeah, I've seen so many talks on bullying in the last couple of years, Louise Arsenault and Jean-Claude Pingo, and I think it seems like a real low-hanging fruit thing. You know, if we can get rid of bullying, we get rid of so many potential problems later in life.
Yeah, I think I may have even seen it on one of your blogs. People, a lot of colleagues are saying this is the one thing we should be doing that we're not. Mm. And my own interest came through an interest in the onset of psychosis, which is my primary area of research, and working with a colleague in Naples who's very interested in the experiences he saw of adolescents with psychotic symptoms and how they related to their aversive experiences in childhood. So Gennaro and I have worked a lot on that together and continue to do so. But yes, the next phase is that we hope to actually roll out some interventions with schools in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
Okay, so we mentioned Paul there. We've also got Sophie Dix, Director of Research at MQ, speaking after lunch. So is she going to be talking generally about mental health research and what they're doing there at MQ?
Yeah, so I think, again, we thought Sophie would be a very important person to have. MQ's the only pure mental health charity. And reading MQ's website kind of reassures me that hopefully we're doing the right kind of things. A lot of the things that are important to them around interdisciplinarity, the youth focus, also big data are things that are important to us in Birmingham. So I thought Sophie would be very good for us to tell us, yes, exactly what MQ's about, what their research strategy is. I think I've also asked to sort of showcase some of the research they funded recently and what kind of projects they have underway, which would be good for colleagues to hear about. I know they're working with, you mentioned bullying, but Helen Fisher in London, my colleague Valeria Mondelli, about prevention of depression in young people. So again, important topics for us at the IMH.
Yeah, there's three or four big youth mental health projects that MQ are doing up there. I'm going to be tweeting furiously during that presentation.
Excellent, thank you.
So, and the workshops that are happening just before lunch, at midday, we've got three workshops.
Yep.
And they look like they're quite kind of interactive sessions. Tell us a bit about those.
So we have some research themes for the Institute for Mental Health. So I kind of asked my colleagues if they would be willing to lead a workshop on some of those themes. We couldn't cover all of it. We thought maybe about three would be about right, given that we might have, you know, 60 to 80 attendees and split into decent-sized small groups. And I guess the other thing we wanted to show the interdisciplinarity of the work. So we have Maria, who you've met, who's a psychologist, and Ella, who's an anthropologist in primary care, leading a workshop around suicide and self-harm in young people. Sarah Carr, who's from I guess Survivor Studies and Social Policy, leading a workshop in Assets, Resilience and Recovery with Jerry Chu, who's a social worker. And then Karen, again, who's a psychologist who now works in social science and health service management, workshop on co-production that's being led very much with Naya and the young people themselves. And also Dr. Sophie Stammers, who works with Project Perfect, coming in to talk about some of the issues around epistemic injustice. And you had the blog recently with Sophie and Lisa. Some of those themes will also appear in that kind of co-production workshop.
Yeah.
How we could give people a voice or help them find a language or help them be heard.
Yeah, it's fascinating, isn't it? How philosophy can help with mental health. I think there's such a exciting potential there, but also a real kind of need to deliver that kind of accessibly.
Yeah.
And that's a real challenge because some of those concepts are quite difficult to get your head around.
I think it's doable. I mean, Sophie and Lisa, I'm sure, will be happy to tell you more about it during the day, but their practical work with Mind in Camden, I guess, attests to the value of what they're doing with people who with these experiences.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lisa and I have worked together since about 2000. So I'm aware they're not just, you know, ivory tower philosophers. They've got very deep and real knowledge of mental health problems. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. And then finally, we've got a couple of Q&A sessions. So Sarah Carr is chairing a care and lived experience session. And then we've also got a panel Q&A about what's happening here locally in the West Midlands.
So I guess the last panel was to try and really gather together stakeholders, constituents in youth mental health in the area, and have given them a bit of time to talk about where they think they've been, where they think they're going. So we're very delighted to have, you know, quite a rich panel there. So we have Max Birchwood, who's Professor of Youth Mental Health at Warwick, but also really pushed on the development of EI in Birmingham. We have Peter Lewis, representing the West Midlands Academic Health Science Network. John Williams, who's been a great ally to us. John, as you know, from used to work with Wellcome, so he's very much a good advisor on research funding and policy, but also is the managing director for what's called Birmingham Health Partners, which is the partnership between the university and Birmingham Women's and Children's and University Hospital. So it's to keep the kind of acute trust, as it were, in the picture. Mm-hmm. And then we have representation from Birmingham Women's and Children's itself, with Marie, who's the director of mental health services there for the trust. And I think Dr. Grant sadly won't be able to come, but she's sending one of her colleagues over to represent Birmingham and Solihull. So we have a few different trusts that are involved in mental health care in the area. And the other person who's important to mention is Amanda Skeet, who's coming on behalf of St. Basil's. So again, St. Basil's is a charity in Birmingham that works with young people who are might be homeless or at risk of being homeless, who may have substance misuse problems, and which some of the young people today may have had support from in the past. St. Basil's has again been a great ally and support to us over the years. So Amanda's going to maybe tell us a bit about the voluntary sector in the city and how they're supporting young people.
Great. Oh, it looks like a really exciting event. And as you say, it's going to end off this evening with the launch of Lisa Bottolotti's
yes.
Delusions book.
Yeah, which is great. And we've got Richard Bentle coming to come to that event, which is great. And Rachel, who's one of our colleagues in the IMH, also has got a chapter there. And I believe we have one of the philosophers from Birmingham, Matt Parrott, who I knew from Oxford, actually. Matt's giving a kind of response to that.
Nice.
So that might get, for those interested in Bayesian accounts of delusions, I'm sure that'll come into the mix at that point.
Great. Well, if anybody's got any questions or any comments, the hashtag is IMHForum18. Thanks a lot for joining me.
Thank
Good
you,
luck
Andrew.
For the day.
Cheers. Thank you very much.